Welcome to the Occult London Podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, and Kabbalah, as many other topics of interest. In this series, we are exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot in relation to the mystery Western mystery tradition. Each week, we will be looking at a different tarot card. These are meant to be short introductions, so will not be an exhaustive examination of them, but rather a taster to get you started and thinking. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. In this episode, we will be exploring the card of the Emperor on the Tree of Life. This card, as we said, as we have done before for previous episodes, we will initially begin by going through some of the key correspondences of the path, and I'm, as a source material for this, I'm actually using Greer's Paths of Wisdom book, which I would highly recommend to anyone out there. So as you can see, the Emperor, so the Hebrew letter of the path is He, which means window. The name of God is Elohim. The astrological correspondence is Aries with a ram. The tarot correspondence, obviously, is the Emperor. The esoteric title is Son of the Morning, Chief Among the Mighty. The Yetziratic path text is the 15th path is the constituting intelligence, so called because it constitutes the substance of creation in pure darkness. And it is said of these contemplations, it is that darkness spoken of in Scripture. The mythological principle is the monarch of the Golden Age. The experiences of the path is imagery of springtime and new life. The combination of solar and stellar symbols, the creation of the world or of worlds, and the visions of endless space. Entities of the path include royal figures with their retinue, angels, various classes of creative spirits. The magical image of the path is an arch of bright red wearing the letter He in brilliant white upon its keystone, and the door in the arch bears the image of the trump. The colours of this path in Atzilut is scarlet, in Bria is red, in Yetzirah is brilliant flame in red, and Isaiah is glowing red. So in terms of the kind of symbolism, we'll talk through this briefly. So this is the next card we come to on a journey, and this connects the sphere of Chochmah, which is wisdom, and Tiferet, which is beauty. This card is attributed to the star sign of Aries, so it holds a lot of warlike Martian energy, just as the Empress is representative of the divine feminine. This card could be described as the polar opposite of that, and depiction of the divine masculine, the divine king, the divine warrior. As we can see on its positioning on the Tree of Life, it connects with Chochmah, the zodiac wisdom, and draws that energy down into the sphere of Tifereth. Thus, it can be said that it represents an opening from the divine level into the conscious mind, a ray of wisdom that emanates from the supernal realm. This idea is represented well in the letter of the path, which is He, meaning window, which represents a window to our higher wisdom, higher self, but also a window to look down upon our lower selves and see what the land is like below. A window also acts as a way to let the light in. So if we think about it in this way, the more windows we have to let light in, the lighter ourselves will be. You know, windows do not possess power intrinsically, but rather they allow light to flow through them. And this is mentioned quite nicely by Greer in his excellent book, Paths of Wisdom, when he says the following. Some magical theories have identified the source of the magician's power as the magician's own self. Others have seen power as something present in various outside things, stars and planets, for example, or herbs and stone. In the Hermetic Kabbalah, by contrast, these things are not seen as sources of power, but as windows through which power passes. And the source of power itself is identified with the unity of the supernals in its active form, which is Chochmah. In a broader sense, this is not true not only of magical power, but of every kind and manifestation of energy in the universe of experience. So we can obviously say from this that, you know, we are all windows into that divine, and it acts as a lamp which kind of shines the light from within. There's no separation between us and the God layer, only levels, or almost like different levels of crystals through which the light becomes more and more bright, the more aware of these levels we become. And this is one of the aspects of initiation that we must be considered when we become more aware of truly seeing things as they really are. Not just the outer appearance, but kind of deeper, and be able to see the kind of true inner forms behind the window pane. Next, we will look at the symbolism of the card. So obviously on the weight deck of the tree, it depicts a throned emperor sitting on a large stone throne carved with four ram's heads. Behind him are kind of orangey looking Martian mountains, and he's also wearing a suit of armor with a crown upon his head and holding an orb in his hand, with his left hand, and in his ank in his right. He's quite a sort of dark, somber looking figure. If we look at the throne to begin with, so as we've mentioned already, the star sign of this path is Aries, and the number of the path is four. So therefore, that's quite explanatory. The number four is also representative of the Sephira Kesed, which is the Sephira of the Divine King. The ram symbolism is very well fitted to the path. So Aries is very much a sign of action and speed, and it's through the window of the emperor that these divine forces of the zodiac and this kind of masculine energy come charging. The crown is obviously golden with five gems, and this is again the Rider-Waite. So there's three white and two ruby. There's no direct symbolism for the crown as far as I could find, but it has been said it's kind of representative of these three supernals, so Kesed and Gabura. Kesed can be represented by will and love, and therefore we could say that the divine emperor holds the keys to both aspects in himself. So he's acting as a balancing force between those two, Kesed and Gabura, through the overarching light of Chochmah via the window of the light of Hay. And the same can be said of the orb and the ankh. So these are kind of representative of these balancing of different forces. The ankh is a symbol of the goddess, the empress, the consort of the emperor, and the orb is a symbol of power. So remember, the emperor is different to a king. An emperor is divinely appointed by God. So think of emperors such as the, you know, the Holy Roman Emperor Constantine, or, you know, some of the sort of pharaoh-type emperors of ancient Egypt. They were not people that won elections. They were appointed by God and very much not human from that perspective. The armour, he's wearing a battered suit of armour. So he looks almost like he's just come out of a battlefield, or he's had quite a heavy weekend. Anyway, he looks tired and weary, but, you know, he still has to rule with a fair and firm hand. And he's not removing it when the battle's over. So to me, that kind of represents that he's kind of ready to be a fair king, but also he's ready to go to war if needs be. The throne of Aries represents this kind of strong willpower that can be used either way, guided by the light of Chochmah from above. But it must be remembered that everything in the Kabbalah is about balance and polarity. And in this way, we can see that the king is a master of both aspects of himself and a master of his own destiny. So the armor is also representative of this connection with Aries as being a metal of Mars, but it's also a reference to Hay. If we think about the words, you know, chink in the armor, the chink could be a reference to Hay, the power of the divine slowly working its way, slowly, 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 slowly into the lower aspects of our human consciousness. So in this point, in this kind of way of thinking, we you know, we can kind of say that this card is very much about seeing our lower selves, but also higher selves and everything within us. It's about our higher self looking down at us, but also striving to achieve and attain the highest wisdom. And, you know, a good analogy of this path would be, you know, the fairy tale of Goldilocks, who she stands at a tall window looking out at the world. She's seen as being accessible. However, through the night's progress, she is overcome. And in the same way, you know, the holy guardian angel that lies within ourselves is waiting for us to call and kind of make that connection. And I wanted to finish with the quote from Leonard Cohen, actually, which is a really great song. The birds they sang at the break of day start again. I heard them say, don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yea, the wars they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be caught again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. That's all we've got time for tonight. Thanks very much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, and really appreciate it if you add a review or follow us if you can. I'm keen to try and build up as a bit of an audience that we can try and get more and more of this content out to people. So yeah, I would really appreciate any support, and thank you all, and speak soon.